G'day team, welcome to the U Project. This is the continuation of the chat that I started yesterday with Tara Jarrett. This is really good. We really talk about in this bit about getting a business underway from concept, thought, idea, you know, theoretical something in your head to turning that into a real world thing. We talk a bit about career and mindset and overcoming self-doubt and insecurity and all that stuff. Really love this chat. I reckon you might too. See you at the end. Now, just quickly before we jump into what you're doing, because I like the story. Just you also had a business called Rouge Living.
I did.
For a long time, and that was like all businesses, peaks and troughs, but overall very successful. Tell people what that was, because that was a You couldn't have gone, like, when you opened that, I'm like, what are you doing?
And I think of something completely opposite of what I had done previously and what I am doing now, actually. I just took a complete segue into a whole other direction. I think it was that creative side, just wanting to sort of be explored a little bit. So I started a company that was a wholesale company in home furnishings and lighting. Fundamentally. And so I started designing lighting, drawing lighting, and going over to China and getting it made and manufactured and going over to Europe. It was an amazing experience. So for 10 years, I got to travel to Hong Kong and Paris and New York and, you know, a couple of times a year, not just once. Like, it was doing it, you know, these places a couple of times a year, and we were wholesaling and retailing, and it was great. It was really interesting. We were employing a lot of people and dealing with a lot of major retailers. And then through all of this, we were surviving through the global financial crisis when that all happened, the GFC happened, and that was tough. And I just working with, I guess, the trials and tribulations of dealing with big companies like Bunnings and Myers and Spotlight and David Jones and Mitre 10 and those bigger organizations. And it was a learning curve, and it was great. I loved it. And it ran its course, and we sold that about 4 or 5 years ago now.
And everything that you've done, I mean, like, you're clearly just very lucky. That's all it is. You're very lucky, Tara. You've really, Tara, fallen on your feet. welcome back to Patronizing Craig. Coming up next.
I've fallen on my face a few times too.
We've all fallen. Yes. Well, you have. I have. You know, the interesting thing about this is what we don't think about enough, I reckon, in business is, like, I often get asked about, because I speak to businesses when we're not in an apocalyptic state. I speak to businesses a lot, and even now I still speak to a few. But you think about how much of a business is really dependent on understanding humans more than understanding business, right?
Uh-huh.
And whether or not those humans are your employees or your customers or your colleagues or your bosses or your business partners. And the irony for me is when we're in normal kind of operational, you know, system, I'm a, what you would call a busy corporate speaker. I'm busy. Yeah. The irony is I rarely talk about corporate or business. I always talk about humans. And, you know, so much about building a business is about knowing how to build a team, is about understanding personalities, egos, attitudes, emotional drivers, psychological drivers, you know, 100%. the needs of the people that, like, you can have a great grasp of an industry or a profession or even a service or a product, but if you're shit at working with people, you're not going to have a business.
100%. 100%. Doesn't matter how good the product is. If people, it's all about relationships, and it's all about finding what people actually want. And that's once you can figure that out. And I think it takes it either takes time, unless you're incredibly insightful at a young age. I think that's something you develop over time in terms of how to read people, how to listen to people.
Mm.
I watch people constantly telling people what they think they need to do. Yeah. You need to do this, or this is what you need. And I'm like, oh, oh, shut up. Listen to look at them. Yeah. Watch the look at their body language and find out what people want and what that person's thinking right now or how they're perceiving you right now. And I don't think people do it well enough.
Somebody should do some research into that and call it external self-awareness and maybe do a PhD called the you experience. Someone should do that, really. So I don't know. I think there's something
that's just
in there.
An idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Just chuck that out there if anyone's listening and you've got four spare years. It's, you know, there's this X factor in business. And of course we need a good product and a good service. That's obvious.
Part of it.
But then there's what we wrap around that, right? So I saw a dude that used to train up at Harper's on the highway. If you don't know what Harper's is, folks, Harper's was not very creatively. The name of my gym is just called Harper's Personal Training, but just got called Harper's. And anyway, and we were waxing lyrical. This was standing out the front. And, you know, 1.5 meters, everyone with face masks. The other day he got his coffee, I got his coffee, my coffee, and about to head home. And we were just chatting. And he goes, how good were those days, mate, up on the highway? I go, awesome. They were awesome. And he's still training now. And I said, how's it going? And he goes, I go, what does that mean? He goes, And he shrugged his shoulders, kind of going, yeah, it's kind of shit. Like, he goes, my trainer's okay, joint's okay, but it's not the same.
Nah.
And I said, and I know this sounds like, I don't mean it to, I was just curious. I go, what? Because, I mean, dumbbells are dumbbells, barbells are barbells, bikes, treadmills, it's just fucking equipment, right? And I go, what did you love? And he didn't train with me, right? He trained with one of my girls, in fact, one of my female trainers. And I said, what did you love about training up there? He goes, the energy. He goes, that was just, and that was the same where you and I worked in at Bluff Road. Just like there was something about, like, you would come in there.
Still my favorite working place.
Yeah. There was just this energy, there's vibe, this kind of culture that, and that wasn't about me. That was about me and everyone.
Yeah.
That people wanted to be in this space.
Yeah. Yeah.
People came to be
there just to hang out. They just wanted to hang out. The training was just something you did in amongst hanging out with a group of people you loved being around.
Mm.
And I've never – it's rare to find that. And I don't – very few places I've actually ever worked in that have even come close to creating that atmosphere. And at the time we had no clues.
No.
At the time, we thought it was normal and it wasn't special. And it's not until you're removed from it that you actually go, that was pretty. We still talk about it. We still talk about, do you remember when? How funny was, you know, and the stories still keep coming.
Mm.
And you're exactly right. It was just the energy and it was just the environment and it was the relationships that was formed, not just between trainers and trainers and you, but the clients, everyone. And I've still got connections from those days who are clients from those days that reach out to me through social media that I haven't heard from for 20 years that I used to train it up at Bluff Road and they still remember. So you're absolutely right. It is about, you know, creating those relationships and creating that something special.
Mm. And how good is it when you can go to work, whatever the job is, whatever the service industry, whatever, and you love being there? Like nothing in you is going, oh God, got to get out of here. It's like for a long time, you know, and it changes over time, but for a long time, work was more fun than not work. Like I had more fun at work than away from work. And so, you know,
we like that now. We say we're going to work, it's just what we do. It's not a job, it's just what we do. If it wasn't our job, we'd still do it anyway.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So it's it's the normal thing that we get up and do in our day. We just happen to get paid doing it. And that's when, you know, you're creating something that you can do long term.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You're celebrating, not tolerating. Like this is where I want to be. This is not where I have to be, you know? So tell us about your current business. I'm excited for this. And When you, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. When you first told me, I went, "What?" I didn't, but I knew you were doing it, so I knew it was going to work. But I'm like, "It's what? What are you doing?" Because you know, obviously, I am the Pilates queen.
Yeah, but
so tell people what you obviously it's a go.
Okay, so yeah, it is Pilates. So we've all, as you know, we've had a gym since forever. We've been working in gyms, but we opened up our Infinity Health Club in 2013, and one of the things I started doing at Infinity was offering Pilates, reformer Pilates, and people loved it, and it was great. And but over time, watching people come through, I became increasingly frustrated, as I think anyone that is involved with any form of group training, especially a form of group training that involves a specialized piece of equipment that is big and bulky and all those things and expensive, is you cannot satisfy all the people that actually want to be involved with time and type. So finding a class time, finding a class type that suited everyone, trying to reach out and make a difference to a large group of people when you've got such limited availability, and making it available to people without them spending an outrageous amount of money too, because it's fundamentally a fairly expensive form of exercise, and that's due to the fact that you can't have a large quantity of people actually being serviced at one particular time. So it's very selective in who can actually be a part of it. And that frustrated the hell out of me, because it was a type of exercise that worked. I fell into Pilates because I myself are a little bit broken. I've got a 37-degree scoliosis that I've lived with my whole life, and my back's twisted and it's a bit bent. And it's as I got older, it really started to bother me. So I started training.
Tell the 20% of our listeners who aren't exactly sure what scoliosis is, what it is.
What it is. I've got a curvature of the spine in my lumbar spine, which is 37 degrees off, you know, being straight. But that in itself isn't probably what the biggest factor is, but mine's got a rotational element as well. So my pelvis twists. So whenever I run or anything like that, it just creates forces that aren't natural to go through your hips and your legs and your low back. So I've sort of battled with low back pain, which is more soft tissue pain, because the soft tissue is trying to pull my spine and my pelvis back straight constantly. So Pilates for me offered a huge amount of relief. So I started doing that, started offering it as classes, found out, you know what, I'm actually not bad at doing this. And it wasn't so much that I was it wasn't my Pilates experience that made me a decent teacher. It was actually the 30 years of PTing, gym instructing, educating on anatomy and physiology, all of that sort of all came together, and watching bodies. So I can, as you can, and I know you can, you look at a body and you know what's wrong by the way that their hips tilt or what their knees are doing or what their shoulders are doing. And from that, because there's such a vast history and exercise prescription, it's just using that piece of machinery to create, you know, rehabilitative exercises. But the problem was I just couldn't service enough people, and I couldn't physically do the amount of hours that I needed to do to even come close to servicing that many people. So I started recording classes, which is nothing special, but I started recording real-time classes with a videographer and doing it in surround sound and getting the quality of production really professional and doing it in a way that it was teaching people how to do Pilates, not watching me. It wasn't about me, it was about them. And put a bank of classes of, you know, probably now about 50 or 60 classes ranging in 30 to 55 minutes, specializing in all areas from, you know, your complete novice to your advanced participant to having hundreds of exercises in a library, and then delivering it in a virtual format. So the business is called At Pilates. We have a beautiful room, which is full of beautiful reformers. And then each reformer has a screen.
Can I be devil's advocate? No, not devil's advocate. Can I be ignorant bloke? There's also half the blokes who listen to this are going, what's a reformer?
Well, yeah, that's fair enough. That was actually thought that was going to go through your head. A reformer, a Pilates reformer, and you might have seen them. It's a machine that works with springs and pulleys as your resistance. And so that the springs and pulleys actually add as assistant, give you assistance or resistance, depending on what that exercise is designed to do for you. So you can literally come up with hundreds of different exercises with this one piece of machinery. And so by putting classes together that are well constructed and with specific purposes in mind, I started to create a library and then spent 18 months developing a website and all the delivery technology from the point of view of booking apps and the best way to actually for members to access these classes, and everything from people being able to access the studio through their phone and all sorts of things. And so what happens now is members come in, they'll choose their class, they have their screen, it moves around the carriage with them, they Bluetooth their headphones in, they listen
hang on,
to their
hang
classroom.
Hang on. So you have a physical center, right?
You have a physical center,
right?
Yes.
So there's an actual physical center. Where is that?
We're about to open our third center. So
right.
We've got three studios, one in Kyabram, which is where our gym is, and that was our pilot studio, because I said to Russ, I've got an idea. He thought I was completely insane, by the way. He just went, nah, this is crazy. This doesn't exist. No one's going to do this. And he'll hate me for saying that. So no matter what I said, he's just going, why do you want to do that? Why would you do that? I'm going, trust me. So we did a little pilot studio in Kyabram. Four reformer carriages. They each had iPads on stands. Each had didn't have headphones at that stage. So it developed over time, but we do, you know, now each person has noise cancelling headphones. They book a reformer, so they rent a carriage. And the reason we have physical studios is this piece of machinery. It's bulky. It's expensive. You don't have them in your lounge room. And part of the experience is actually going to the center, because they're beautiful. So they're aesthetically, you know, gorgeous. They smell good. The atmosphere is gorgeous. The equipment's top of the range. They can come in, do their class. They've got their headphones on. It's meditative. They are in their own little Pilates bubble. No one's annoying them. They're not part of a group. They're not on show. They can come 24/7. They just come, do their thing, and then they leave. And people have embraced it and they love it. And we've now got a studio in Echuca, opening one up in Shepparton in October. And Bendigo will be the fourth one. We're going to do Bendigo third, but it ended up being our fourth one. So
that's happened in the last
18 months.
So people don't rock up at a set time. So this is the beauty of it. You can go, I'm doing the 10:17 class PM.
Exactly. So what happens now is they're not booking a class, they're renting a reformer. So you can rent a reformer on the hour, every hour for 24 hours. And when you're in there, so Craig's decided I'm going to book a carriage from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Doesn't mean you have to turn up at 10 a.m. You can turn up at 10:17, like you said. But once you're in there, you can then choose what class you want to do. So you've got your screen and you can then choose, I'm going to do a beginner's class, an intermediate class, an advanced, or I'm going to do a back leg class or a leg strengthening class or a mobility class. I'm going to choose that, put my headphones on, and I'm locked into my little Pilates bubble and away I go.
And I'm watching a screen, right?
Yeah, you're watching a screen. And it's about small screen, big sound, Craig. It's all about the sound more than anything.
And is it, I don't want to know how much, but people pay a weekly membership, a monthly membership per
weekly
session.
Membership.
So weekly membership. So if I pay a weekly membership, can I do seven classes a week?
You can do seven classes a day if you wanted to. Yeah, you can do as many as you want. And that's the beauty of it too. So at the moment, if you want to access Pilates, it's like $45 a session. In a lot of places, 25 minimum if you're doing it in a class format with a lot of other people.
Right.
So for us, it's a set amount, and you could end up paying, you know, anything from, you know, under $10 a class if you go more than three times a week.
How much is it?
It's $38.50.
So $38.50. So if I go even twice, it's costing me $19 a session.
Yep.
And if I go every day, it's fucking bargain.
It is. Look, we're a hybrid studio. We're still staffed. So there's a qualified staff member that's there from 8 in the morning until 6 at night, who's still there to help and meet and greet. And we've got product and we help people with their tech and their booking and their technique and all of those things still. But they can come in and choose their class. They're not completely determined by the instructor or by the other participants. You can come and do exactly what you want to do at your time. But if you also want to come outside of staffed hours, you can do that as well.
So you don't have to work within, I feel like I'm doing a sales pitch. I honestly don't know how this works, folks. So I'm actually asking in real time. So you don't have to do, there's not a set structure or timetable. So
no.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty. Yeah. That's never going to work, Tara. Idea. It's never going to work.
And people go, why did you do it? And I just did it because over the years, just listening to people tell me the problems with group exercise classes and Pilates and gyms and what they did. I literally asked people, what don't you like about the gym? What don't you like about group exercise classes? What don't you like about, you know, going and doing Pilates somewhere or joining a standard gym? And I spent time just basically interviewing people and finding what their barriers were and then figuring out I'm going to do the complete opposite of that.
It's called market research. You're not a dummy. And then you bring in your penchant, your talent for decor and look and feel and vibe from Rouge Living days with your exercise physiology, with your business acumen, with your entrepreneurial skills, with your research ability. No wonder it's working. Don't tell us, of course, anything about money or numbers, but so Kyabram's the first one, but the standalone one, which is in Echuca.
Yeah.
Has that been well received?
Yeah, it has. Look, we've been open in Echuca since the 18th of June. And so we had a target that we wanted to achieve, you know, within 6 months. We did it before the month was out. The first month was out.
What do you mean, a membership target?
A membership target, yeah. So our six-monthly target we did within 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it went nuts. And it exceeded everything that I thought it would do. And it's crazy. It's still growing and the feedback is the same. People just the continual feedback is, I don't want to be on display. I don't want to be part of a group. I think the added bonus I got was people at this time, and this is what I was saying before about the light bulb moment for me was, and you'd know it too, that the shift has gone from worrying about just the physicality side of things. People are more worried about the wellness. I don't know if that's the right word, but that the wellness side of it, very much a mental health, which is, I know it's a word that's overused, but a lot of people just wanted that time out. They call it, you know, I just want time for me. I'm sick of constantly feeling as though I'm doing nothing for me. This is for me.
Yeah.
And so they're coming in, and one of the things that they talked about was as soon as they put their headphones in, especially with them being noise cancelling, there was no other sound around them. There was nothing else interfering with their time. So it became meditative is the right word. And so I ended up changing my voice patterns and the way I delivered the classes too from feedback. So that's something I've actually found that people are constantly saying too. It's the voice, it's the way it's delivered, and that at the end of it, they feel refreshed and that they've had that time out, but they've also had exercise and a physical benefit as well.
I don't know if you can answer this question, and I don't know, maybe it's a silly question. I'm curious if you know how anyone else in the Pilates space, is that the right word, has responded or reacted like, because clearly your model, your studio model and your business model. Of course, there are lots of Pilates businesses, but there are none like yours in Australia, right?
Good question.
Have you got any feedback of people gone, oh, that's fucking bullshit, it's brilliant, or fucking that won't last, or I'm just curious.
A bit of everything. Shock is probably the biggest one in that, and I didn't set out to deliberately try and take, I guess, a share of the market. I think the market's massive in terms of, I think this form of exercise could reach so many people, but it's not, I don't think it's, you know, necessarily the classes per se, or whether it's necessarily that my classes are any better, different than anyone else's. The game changer for people is the flexibility of it.
Mm.
The fact that they can do what they want, when they want, with whoever they want, that's what people like. It's not even a money thing. Yes, I think we're incredibly competitive price-wise, because as you were saying before, the more you come, the cheaper it becomes, because we're that fixed price. But it's more about the flexibility. People would pay more even if it meant that they could come when they wanted and do what they wanted, you know, without being part of a bigger group. And especially in a time now where people are really conscious about groups and really conscious about big space, they actually like the fact they come in and they're one of four.
Yeah.
And the space is big and, so.
Yeah, I'm opening a chain of, I'm calling it Power Pilates. Just for dudes.
Good luck with you.
Yeah, and I'm getting all the springs from an industrial source. So you've got to be able to bench 400 and squat 600 to qualify to do my Pilates for men.
There's probably a market.
Fucking hell. Could you imagine me doing Pilates? Fuck. Shit would be breaking. Melissa, have you ever done Pilates?
I have done Pilates. Yeah,
of course you have. Have you done Reformer?
I've done a little bit of Reformer. Yeah.
Why did you stop, Melissa?
Good question. Probably exactly what your business is addressing, just in terms of flexibility and time. Like you'd need to go at the times that were available. And that didn't necessarily fit. Yeah, it didn't necessarily fit in with like what I was wanting to do. Plus it was a second membership. So I had the gym membership and then the separate membership elsewhere, and it just didn't quite make sense for me.
Sorry, Melissa.
This is making me want to do more of it though. It's reminded me.
Also a really specific form of qualification too. So there's not, it's not like, Craig, I'm using our PTs, but there's a lot less Pilates, Reformer Pilates instructors out there than there are personal trainers. So it's not as if there's so many instructors, especially in country Victoria. So that was the other thing too.
And good ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where I thought, you know what, I'm just going to record myself and this class can be seen again and again and again in the right format, done really well in a professional way. And, people have embraced it.
And I think even the other issues that you've mentioned in terms of being part of a class where everybody's individual needs weren't necessarily met because the instructor's trying to cater for everybody. And then also when you're starting it for the first time, you might feel a little bit kind of maybe embarrassed or just a little bit intimidated by what everybody else is doing. And you're like, I can't quite do that right now. Like I might be able to get to that.
Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, not right now. So, I think something like what you're talking about gives you that chance to kind of tailor it for what you need and the time that you need it.
In any hour in the studios, I can walk in there and I'll have someone doing what we call our orientation program. So a complete beginner, like Crago, that wouldn't know which was the front or back of a Reformer carriage or whether to lie on it or sit on it.
That's actually true.
So Craig could be in there feeling completely comfortable with what he's doing. And then Melissa, you could be beside him. My mum could be in there and Russ could be in there doing something quite advanced all at the same time. neither of you would know what the other one is doing, or nor would you care. And you're not hearing what the other one is doing. You're not looking at the other person. You're just in your own space, own time, doing a thing, and then you just leave.
Yeah.
So it works.
Hey, are you? I feel like I asked you this originally when you told me about the concept, and I went, "That'll never work. That's bullshit. Just get a job." Because that's how the kind of friend I am. Super encouraging. I didn't really say that. I went, I know it's going to work. I don't know why it's going to work, but you're doing it, so it's going to work. So down the track, when people who, I mean, although they're prohibitively expensive and they'll never be they'll never be something that's in most homes, but there will be people and are people who do have a reformer bed. Yeah. Is there going to be an online option eventually where they can plug into your website
and I'll do your now.
Oh.
Yeah, you can have so I've actually probably got a couple of dozen members just from all around Australia that actually have their own carriages at home, and so they have a home-based membership. So what we then do is we give them a specific individual login that they can actually access the site, and they can then see the classes and they can view them on their own platform, whether that be through their computer, their phone, their iPad. And they can follow the same classes that we're doing in studio, but they can do it in their own home. So yeah, I've got people in Queensland that are on that have a membership with At Pilates, but they're doing it on the Gold Coast.
It's called At, as in the symbol At.
At symbol, yes, the At symbol. Pilates.
You're very clever. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. You're so good. You're so good, and So
I just thought it would work. It was just one of those concepts that I thought about it for a really long time before I went, I think I've got it. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. Can you loan me some dough? Because I'm doing it hard. Yeah. I've got to pay two employees.
Mr. COVID took a lot of that with the gym. I had to come up with another idea. And that was the other thing too. We can actually keep operating. So with At Pilates, the delivery format comes under a telehealth. So because we use screens and because we can actually limit the number of people in studio, so we basically limit it down to literally one person in studio. This is during hard lockdown. So someone will come in and they're doing their own little Pilates bubble. I know I keep using that word, but one person, one screen, wipe everything down, leave, venues locked behind them, no one else can come in. It means that the venue can actually keep operating through that sort of telehealth virtual format. That's where the necessity came from. It was just like, I have to figure a way to keep doing this through these times, because this is nuts if we're going to be locked down continuously and our livelihood affected so severely.
Now, I know you and I know how you think, so I'm guessing it's not ending at 3. I know you've got a fourth coming up in Bendigo. Over what time frame, how long will it take from number one to number four? A year?
No, much quicker than a year. We have a trigger. So it's based on, it's like with starting any business, whether it be, you know, gym related or selling books or anything, you have to do your numbers and you have to have all your targets and you have to understand all your expenses. And so I know down to the cent what it costs to set up a studio, what the fixed expenses are. And based on that, I know exactly how many members that we need to actually, one, make it viable and then make it profitable. So at a certain number of members, that's our trigger to start the next one. So once we hit that target, we open the next one. That one hits that target, we open the next one. And so that's just a continuous rolling model.
Do you have an upper limit? Do you go, once we get to 20, we're going to sell the whole business? Are you going to franchise? Can someone listening to this go, hey, Tara, I live in fucking whoopity whoop. I don't know. I'm just asking because I'm pretty sure you've thought about all of this.
So exploring all options. So there's a couple of things that we can do. One is where we are exploring the franchise model. The other option is we might decide down the track that, you know, if someone decided they wanted to, you know, someone with much deeper pockets than me wanted to take it to an even bigger level, I think it's a model that lends itself to that, because it is something once the work's put in terms of all the IT, the IT and all the IP that goes on behind it all, which is we're really starting to get on top of that in terms of perfecting the nuts and bolts of how it works. Mm. And now that we know exactly, you know, as I said, down to the cent, what it costs to set up a venue and to run a venue, it's something that could be taken on in a much bigger way. It's something that can be reproduced quite easily. And so that's where we see it going. It's a way for us to deliver it to a lot more people than we can do. So, yeah, hopefully someone with much deeper pockets than me actually thinks it's a great idea.
Well, tell everyone, it's awesome. Tell everyone the web address.
It's just @pilates.studio. A-T, pilates.studio.
All right, so not the symbol.
No, you actually can't have a symbol in a web address.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
atpilates.studio.
Studio.
So www.atpilates.studio.
All right. Ace. That was really, Melissa, wasn't that interesting?
Yeah, really interesting.
I think we just found our new business coach.
Exactly.
Now, is there anything else you want to plug while we've got you and while you've got the ear of our audience?
Support the fitness industry. Help us get open. It's probably my last ditch plea.
That'd be good. Stand outside Dan's house. No, definitely don't do that.
No.
All right. Well, we appreciate
it's been
you.
Lovely to talk to you. Good luck to everyone in these times. And I hope people, you know, as you said, put some thought into what they love doing and not what they're forced to do, and try and come up with their, as I always say, their flugelbinder.
What's a flugelbinder?
Your flugelbinder is your thing.
Oh, cool. Flugelbinder. How do you spell flugelbinder?
I know. Your flugelbinder is that one thing that you love to do that you can reproduce, that you can actually...
I'm going to call this episode, you gave it to me in the last minute, I'm going to call it Finding Your Flugelbinder.
Finding Your Flugelbinder.
Tara Jarrett, thank you so much for being on the You Project.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being had. Melissa, thank you for chiming in and out.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
It was.
I hope there was something there that you enjoyed and that people can get something out of.
Oh, there were
many
things.
Enjoy Saturday. It's beautiful here.
Stay right there. Let me say goodbye. Thank you, everyone. Love your collective gutses. See you next time.